of kid.
All I gotta say is Portland can't say shit.
It's scintillating. It's sensational. It's Seattle Sounders FC Soccer.
Welcome to Sounders Scuttlebutt, the ultimate podcast for everything rave green. I'm your host, Aaron Lingley, and I'm joined by two incredible voices in the Sounders community, Alliance Council Secretary Cameron Collins.
Hello. That's Hello. Me.
And the one and only Alliance Council extraordinaire, Nicholas Biella.
Why, hello there.
All right, well, we're here to break down all your Sounders mumbo jumbo game analysis, of course, and the scuttlebutt. That's why we are scuttlebutt. So if you want to be part of the show, join our supporter section on Patreon. That supports us literally. That goes right to hosting all the jazz behind the scenes, and I really do appreciate it. So I want to say thank you to our supporters in there. Who do we have? We got a new one. Ooh. Daniel P. Thank cool. you, Daniel, for joining. Alex D, James C, Pat C, and Cedar. And, of course, you, Cameron Collins.
Yeah, me.
And then you can always join our Discord. That is where we pull the scuttlebutt. We have some great channels in there. I think they're called channels, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that you set up, Cameron. You guys are always active. I am not as active, at least recently. Should I drop the news?
I think so. It's the big news.
I think before you drop the news, we need some alcohol for this. So,
whoa, you did not even wait. Alcohol.
That's like, oh, Guinness.
You are drinking alcohol.
Yeah, I've been reading a lot of Irish history lately about how my relatives were genocided during the potato famine and stuff like that. So, drinking some Guinness.
Good job.
Back to the Paps. Back-to-back Paps.
Yeah.
You.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a corporate whore, remember?
I'm getting ready for my tournament. I'm actually wearing one of my pond hockey sweaters.
Oh, that's right. You got your tourney.
And it's still January, so no alcohol for you, Aaron. Or is that off because of your big investment?
Well, so I broke the streak of not drinking last week.
Understandable.
Yeah,
it is hard for alcoholics not to drink.
Well, no, I accepted a job in San Diego, La Jolla, to be exact.
I need a drink because I'm going to miss you.
Yeah, well, I need a drink because I'm going to miss you guys.
I mean, we'll still see you on the internet.
Yeah, we'll still do this. This is not affecting everyone who's pulled over because they're freaking out because they're listening to this in the car. This scuttlebutt will survive. Mm-hmm. I will still be on it. Nothing is changing thanks to the technology of 2025. We already do this virtually.
Yeah.
So yeah, nothing's stopping.
It's important because we may be number two Sounders podcast in terms of numbers and downloads, but I think we're number one in the people's hearts.
Absolutely. So yeah, that's happening fucking a week from Saturday. So I will see you both at the pub league presale party.
It's just insane, dude. Like, that's so fast.
Yeah, they needed me on the third. And like I said, it's a job opportunity. And
is your family coming down later? Are you going down early?
Yeah, I'm going solo. I will be back on the 13th because the evening of the 13th, Margot, her first birthday is Valentine's Day. So I'm not missing that. And they totally understood. So I'll be flying. Plus, I'm like living at everyone knows that listens to the show regularly that I work in hotels. I'll be staying at the hotel for pretty much until I find an apartment. I'll be doing the scouting. I got everything planned already. So hopefully I can get a key turned and I'm in an apartment on the floor by myself with my laptop.
Hey, hotels are cool too.
Once I start working, like the weekend that I'm there, I'm not working, right? So I'll just be with the rental car And I'll be, going all over San Diego. But once I start working, I don't know if I want to keep sleeping there just because I'm your boss. But anyway, that's awkward. Yeah. So that's crazy. They're moving. We got movers coming on the 17th, packing, shipping, freighting one car as well. And unpacking 10 days later. Or so we'll be living pretty lean. I'll probably be going to IKEA and shit.
You're leaving Winnie behind?
Actually, so when I come back on the 14th, I'll be leaving on the 15th in the morning with Winnie behind me and Hook, our cat, in the back right passenger seat, still trying to figure out the best little system for him, a little portable cat box on the floor.
Some drugs. You go to the vet, get some drugs. That's the only way that cat's making it that far.
That's true. That's not a bad idea. I'll be stopping in Reading. There's actually a really nice little hotel that's really highly rated. That was $120 that accepts cats. So I'm guessing Reading is generally the stop for people relocating.
Yeah, it's a good halfway mark.
Yeah, it'll be about 9 hours.
It's just nice. You can stay on I-5 the whole way instead of going to San Jose. We have to cut in. Nick, I'm sure. Do you ever do that drive?
I did. I've done both 5 and I took the 101 all the way down.
I did not do that, but I did do 5 to 505 to 80 to 880 to 680 or 680 to 880 to 80 to whatever.
No.
The 5.
No, you will be calling it I-5. We will not accept that slander. You're not becoming an LAFC fan or an LA Galaxy fan.
Or a San Diego FC fan?
You can be a San Diego FC fan as long as you root for the Sounders first.
Of course. I'm actually pretty stoked about that, to be moving there just before the season starts for them. And their Snapdragon, San Diego's pretty easy to get around. It's a pretty small, big city, right? And Snapdragon's pretty much downtown. So anywhere we pick to live will be pretty close to that. So I'm absolutely going to when Sounders go there. But anyway, yeah, I'll probably come up once every few months, especially over the summer, because that's going to be hard for me to be apart from PNW summer. Born and raised here. It's surreal.
I get it, but if you're going to be one place that's not Seattle in the summer, San Diego's nice year round. I mean, it's not like it's going to be 100 degrees there. It's going to be 80 degrees with a nice windy breeze like it is here.
Yeah, I had family in Mission Valley, so I'd go to San Diego growing up about a week or two at a time. And I just loved La Jolla, loved San Diego. So much to do for the girls too. Every apartment community has a pool and a fitness center and all that jazz. So
SeaWorld's still there. You can go see Shamu murder the attendants.
I don't think that was Shamu.
No, but it wasn't. It was, it starts with a K. I'm blanking on the name.
Camu? No, I'm on the fence about SeaWorld.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of SeaWorld.
You ever seen the documentary Blackfish?
Yeah, that's what I was referencing. But it wasn't Shamu. I think it's Shamu's grandkid that was the one that did that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Zoos, as a vegan, I don't love zoos, but then you have something like Seattle Zoo, Woodland Park Zoo, which rehabilitates bald eagles and basically helped them no longer be endangered. They were an endangered species, and thanks to the zoo, amongst a few others, they no longer are.
And both San Diego and Seattle both kind of revolutionized the idea of creating natural habitats for the animals in there and really kind of redefining versus what, you traditionally would think of as a zoo, which is just animal cage. There you go.
Especially San Diego Zoo, because it's huge.
Yeah.
I've probably been there more than once, but I got to see peacocks, which was pretty crazy.
The peacocks walk around Woodland Park.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun when they scare the shit really out of people around that are unsuspecting.
Yeah.
I went to one in Paris. Maybe it was in Stuttgart. It was when I was living in Paris, and I saw giant king penguins, and that was cool.
That's cool.
They're 3 feet tall.
So anyway, yeah, that's the news. Aaron is moving. So if you are a pub leaguer and you're listening and you're going to be at our spot on Saturday,
come give me a goodbye hug.
Yeah.
I got a question for you. How was my intro?
Good.
Yeah,
enjoyable. Okay. You don't sound sick anymore.
That's true. And I figured reading would be better. And I was like, you know what? ChatGPT, here's the prompt. And it worked. And it was pretty good.
Yeah,
that was the first try.
I mean, they had to burn down an entire force in the Amazon in order to create the energy for it to write you that paragraph. But that's okay. I actually was just at a event at Seattle University put on by the department I used to teach in, which was Arts Leadership Department, and the department that I now teach in, which is the Sports and Entertainment Master's Program, that was Entertainment Evolved, a conference on the business of entertainment. And there was a discussion on AI's impact and content creation, distribution, and stuff like that. It was kind of fascinating, and how here, you know, it's largely frowned upon. This was actually an audience member, but the professor who was leading the talk brought them into the conversation for a second. Because we think about it like they're using AI usually in Hollywood in order to not have to pay actors. I mean, that's part of the reason why the strike went on recently, right? Like this stuff's happening. But there's an AI film festival coming up in March, which I'm not sure I feel about, but what I did find interesting was someone emailed the guy putting it together because, and asked for a free entry because they couldn't afford it. And it's because they're from Iran and they can't have a bank account to give money to anyone in the United States because it's frozen. Like they can't transfer money that way. And actually that's how they make films there with AI, because every camera and microphone you buy would be tracked. And so the only way you can make content that would be of a dissident sort would be to use AI, because that's not tracked. At least not right now. So that was a pretty fascinating discussion.
That is interesting.
Nicholas, you and I, just prior to Christmas, attended a Rick and Morty themed musical.
We did.
What was that?
We did. Back to the Future, the musical.
Yeah. So last night, and let's have you talk into your microphone. I know you got your new setup, but when you turn away, we don't get to hear your robust awesomeness.
Good to know, kind of dialing in that sweet spot with the new setup.
Yeah, yeah. So last night, frequent contributor to the show, Dan Boniface, and father of future Seattle Sounder, Beckham Boniface, attended and then wrote an article for the Denver Gazette entitled "Back to the Future, the Musical Comes to Denver, Unlocks Nostalgia for This Superfan." So we'll be sure to share that in the show notes here, because it's pretty cool little read, you know. And he critiques some of the changes, which we won't talk about too much. But obviously, there were some changes from the original story that he and I had a discussion about when he got off last night. Because I think there's some things that don't make sense to modern audiences.
No,
like what's a Libyan? You know. So,
although I gotta say that's pretty impressive considering we're on the same path there. I had written articles for a local newspaper in Denver as well during my time when I was living there.
Yeah.
So the DU Clarion. So kids going somewhere?
Yeah, I mean the Denver Gazette
podcast.
Denver Gazette's nice because unlike the Denver Post, they're owned by a billionaire. They're owned by the LA Galaxy owner. So they can put articles in that maybe others can't, because they're allowed to be more creative instead of just trying to get only clicks.
Good times.
For sure.
Hey, I got something I've been doing that's Sounder related.
Okay.
Sounder specific, actually. I'm almost done reading
a book,
Sound and Glory. Oh, yeah,
book. Matt Pence's book.
Matt Pence. Yeah,
yeah.
And it's good, man.
Oh, I'm
blowing through it. It's been, you gave it to me like a year ago.
Yeah,
it's been in my. I haven't read.
I've
been taking the bus.
My dad. We ran into Matt. My dad was with me, and we ran into Matt Pence in an elevator on the way to when they unveiled the Sounders Nightfall jerseys at what was the jersey sponsor place called? They sold mainly women's and babies' clothes, and then they were on the front of the sponsor. They were sponsored.
Oh, Zulily.
Zulily.
Oh, okay.
So we were going. You were there, Nicholas, right? When we went to Zulily, and we ran into Matt Pence, and my dad was super stoked because he loved that book.
Yeah, you did a really good job. And I was thinking, I don't know, maybe, well, first off, did you apologize when you ran into him?
We did not physically.
But it'd be good to have him on the show. That'd be a good Patreon episode, actually.
Yeah, definitely. I'm not sure where Matt is now. I feel like he is elsewhere, but definitely worth tracking him down, because obviously he could talk a lot about that. And we're always happy to.
Oh, he works for The Athletic now.
Yeah. So it's, it's good, to have, you know, him on, just talk about his book, because maybe he'll sell more copies. And if you haven't read it yet, I mean, we'll be corporate chills. Go out and buy it, because it's pretty awesome.
Speaking of these Nightfall jersey, have you seen the leak of the LA Galaxy away kit? Because
which one is that? No, I don't know.
Because honestly, that one looks to me very much like what.
Oh yeah,
Nightfall. The original concept behind our Nightfall kit was going to be, and it makes me wonder if Adidas just basically files some of that stuff away for we're gonna revisit this idea.
Yeah, because it's not like the design, we had that design, but it definitely is in the vein of what it should have been, could have been.
And actually,
do you have it up?
Yeah, go ahead.
Screen the share.
I shall do that.
And editor's note, Matt Pence is not with The Athletic anymore. It looks like he's not even in writing anymore. He's probably a freelance.
Somewhere I saw on his LinkedIn, if it's up to date, but not somewhere that I've actually heard of. But shout out to Matt.
You guys should ping him.
Yeah, I will.
Anyway, so yeah, share your screen. I want to see what you're talking about. Did you guys put it in Discord? Has it been discussed?
No.
Not yet.
So basically there, it was a sunset on the beach. So yeah, I mean, I think it's like a modern, this is what it would have been in modern times versus the more chunky, straight up black and pink colors. We got multiple pinks.
For sure. There's my SoCal. Yeah. For sure.
For sure, bro.
But yeah, as of right now,
I like it though.
As of right now, 18 kits have been leaked. The Sounders are not one of those 18.
I'm impressed. I'm glad. Let's keep it that way.
Yeah. I mean,
it's released.
Sounders have been pretty good about keeping things under wraps for the most part. And so we'll see how that goes.
When's release date?
But I'm looking forward to it.
Look at this. This is a completely different, but Inter Milan kit. This is someone saw it and then made their own version based on their recollection. But this is the leaked Inter Milan kit, which is interesting.
Looks like the
cat. It looks like a pharmacy, like a European pharmacy.
Oh, with the yeah. It's in the green pluses. That's weed.
So I don't know if you guys heard me or if you're just ignoring me, but you guys know, when is the Sounders kit release date?
Should be mid February.
Yeah, mid to late February. It's whenever the league does their Jersey Week, and we're usually one of the last to do it during Jersey Week. This is a really ugly away shirt New England Revolution had. Though it's a white T-shirt with red accents.
The white T-shirt.
Yeah.
And typically, what happens is MLS tries to coordinate them all to happen at the same time, and they usually give about a 3-day window where they will stagger the releases within that 3-day window. So
expect ours to about see that before by not FIFA. What's it, EA 24, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
EAFC.
So here's all the leaks. If we want to see them together, and some are all right. Some are normal and some are what the hell.
Well, you know, the San Jose Earthquakes one looks very much like a 12-year-old boy. The front of his high school notebook, complete with the S that everyone would draw.
The Stussy S?
The Stussy S is on the jersey.
Is it really?
It's bad. It really is.
I mean, it's not worse than the LAFC one, though, the white T-shirt with the gold, but I haven't seen
it. I don't know. I
am jealous of black and gold Portland jersey. I've always wanted to do black and gold.
I think that's dark green.
I thought LAO. Is it green? Oh, okay, never mind. It just looks black on my screen.
Mm-hmm.
I like how they don't have ours. So they said, this is their logo. So it probably looks like this. I'm trying to find the San Jose one up close. I have not seen it.
It's bad.
Oh, man.
I think we posted it. Oh, there it is. See, yeah, right there under the crest. Is.
Yeah, I love
under the crest is right the Stussy yeah. S.
I might get sued for that. I love the idea behind it. I don't know if the
execution
is great. You know, I like the old Quakes logo on it that looks like an earthquake. Of course, shout out to the 408, which is still my area code from when I lived down there. But yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about that. I'm not a big fan.
I like that it's not a t-shirt like the
and maybe it looks better in person. You know, some of those look better in person. I mean, but it looks like that we got templates. Like this is look at the Nashville one. It's blue. It's Michigan blue and gold, but or yellow. Seriously. But it's the same as the LA. Well, it's the same as the St. Louis one, but with different colors. It's the same as LA FC. It's so yeah. A lot of people are just getting template kits. That sucks for them.
Yep, sure does.
And I know you guys know ours. Do you like ours this year?
I do.
Yep,
I do. I am.
I think ours will be. I put it on par with Austin as the best too. I'm a fan of Austin, and I think the LA Galaxy one is up there.
Honestly, I like the LA Galaxy.
You know, I can't give it to like. The Atlanta one, the red and black stripe, it's their normal kit with just like subtle differences. So it's the San Diego one's boring. These are all the carried over.
Kansas City one, boring.
The Kansas City one's boring. The Minnesota one's intriguing with the clouds. Mm-hmm. But as a whole.
Because you know they have clouds in Minnesota.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Well, that's good to know.
It's pretty.
So, I mean, it looks more like a pub league attempt. The Minnesota one, but anyways,
none of these are anything close.
These are things that we really shouldn't really be talking about on a podcast when it's a visual medium right
that's
now.
That's true, but people, but here's the thing.
Well, the link is in the show description.
We'll put the link in the show description and they can pull it up while they're listening to us talk.
While they're driving.
And we'll post the photos into the Discord as well.
Yeah, and you know what? We could also one day do a slideshow that we attach to the show so it goes on YouTube and is available in certain podcasting apps. I do that with another podcast I listen to. I can pull it up and watch what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm. But hey,
another video one day.
It's also silly season right now. We've got a lot of transfers coming in these last few weeks.
Charlotte, man. Charlotte doing it up. You don't have any comment on that? You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know what's going on. Tell me. I've been busy.
I'm not sure. I know they sent one of their.
Let me get the actual.
Swiderski.
The actual. Swiderski with the Panthinaikos. But they are bringing in a big time player from Europe. Wilfred Zaha, former Man United star. I haven't seen the latest news on it. They confirmed the signing of former Manchester United and Crystal Palace winger Wilfred Zaha on a one-year long.
What's his age now?
I think he's 32-ish. Yeah, 32.
No, he's not in his 20s anymore.
But still, I mean, there's certain players. I don't love signing players of that age, but there's certain players that have a skill set that will transfer over even at that age to the MLS when they are that high level of a player.
Yeah, that's a good sign.
Other things, the Dallas Alan Velasco to Boca Juniors has been finalized.
Yeah.
So Dallas is in full rebuild mode for sure. San Diego, your future home, did sign Luca De La Torre.
That's a big move.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think Luca's a San Diego native, I believe.
Oh.
I could be wrong about that. But
oh, interesting.
Yeah, he was
sent Kosi Tafari over to LAFC as well, the defender. I did not realize that. So they're going. And the LA Galaxy sent their
Mark Delgado to LAFC.
Which is weird. I don't get that. He must have wanted to stay in LA, but they were going to move on.
Well, they had to because the Galaxy were running into an issue where, because Ricky Pooj is going to be on their books all season long because they expect him to come back around playoff time, you couldn't use your mechanism to basically put him on a season ending reserve and take him off the books. So because of that, they're basically rolling with two DPs throughout the year. And when a team wins a championship, a lot of times you get that championship bump in salaries. So keep in mind, roster bonuses also can count against the salary cap. So LA Galaxy, unfortunately, probably had to get rid of a few players that they didn't really want to, just as cap casualties.
Yeah.
You're right about San Diego, by the way. He is born there.
I thought so. I thought Luca de la Torre was from there.
What about this big move right here, though?
Eric Zavaleta?
Yeah, former Seattle Sounder. Former not defender that the Sounders turned into a defender, like they are currently doing with our boy Josh, re-signed with LA Galaxy.
Well, I mean, that makes sense because apparently he can only play against teams that, go against the Sounders in the playoffs. So it's, Toronto.
Play for teams that his uncle is the coach of after leaving the Sounders, because he played for Toronto and then he played for LA Galaxy, where his uncle's the coach.
But with that said, Portland, they acquired Kevin Kelsey from Shakhtar Donetsk. So 20-year-old U22 spot, $6 million transfer fee. So it's interesting because Portland had a really potent offense last year.
Yeah, defense but that makes was where sense they needed given, to shore up.
Well, you got to keep in mind that Evander wants out and has been very vocal about true. That. That's so true. So this has got to be a move in that direction.
No.
Evander's not going to be happening.
Is this my dude? Oh no!
Which dude?
Speak words.
No, okay. This is a different Igor Jesus.
Igor Jesus?
Yeah, there was a different one that I wanted the Sounders to sign, who's a young Igor Brazilian. But okay. I'm glad it wasn't the one I wanted. I was going to be so sad. But yeah, I mean, we were seeing moves all over the league. That
Jonathan Bamba going to Chicago. That's a big one for sure, from Celta de Vigo.
I mean, LA Galaxy bringing back Yoshida is pretty big because he started for them in the MLS Cup final.
Well, it was also clear that Delgado wasn't part of their plans anymore, and so shoring up the defensive side is probably a priority for them for sure. But it sounds like the other Chicago rumored transfer, Neymar, coming into the league, that looks like that is going to be on hold as Neymar appears to be locking in and settling in with Santos, his home country, one of his youth teams. And that's probably for the best because, I mean, I don't know if you've been paying attention to Neymar's production over the last few years, but it has not been great.
Yeah, he's been hurt, and when he has played, not good.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably an addition by subtraction for Chicago there because I feel like that would have absolutely turned into who's in New York City, a Pirlo situation or a Gerrard situation for sure.
I thought this move was interesting, so I want to make sure to talk about that. Ariath Piol from MacArthur FC in the Australian A-League to Real Salt Lake, because he's only 20. So he signed a 3-year deal with an option for a fourth year. He had 4 goals and 14 appearances since making his professional debut. So he was brought in by Chief Soccer Officer Kurt Schmid. Ooh.
Former Sounders.
I didn't know when
he went to RSL. I was wondering that as well.
I remember earlier this year we talked about it on an episode. So I think it was last year or the year before.
I will say, though, I think this is a good sign for the league that we're talking about a lot of U22 signings with some decent transfer fees of north of $2+ million.
Yeah.
This is exactly what we want to see out of this league and see that growth, see those exciting moves I'm very pleased.
And the number of them.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm very, very pleased with
nice churn.
Both what we have, but also just seeing what other people are doing. And everyone's got a different approach to it, and I think that that's good for the league.
And the biggest signing news of the day, of course, came out on Instagram. On his very own Instagram, Kim Keehee announced that he has signed with the Sounders.
Spoiler alert. We're gonna have a call back to Kim Keehee later on.
What's that?
We're gonna have.
I heard what you said. What did you say, Aaron?
I was wondering what platform that came from.
Instagram. He posted it on his own personal Instagram page, in Korean. So the reason I found out was somebody I know who speaks Korean posted about it on Twitter. X, whatever you call it. I did post my first ever thing on Blue Sky. It's just a sexy photo of myself, but I made my first Blue Sky post after having that page for like a year. Page? Account? Screen name? What do you call it? What are we talking about with Kim Keehee?
I'm on his Instagram. I don't see anything.
It's in Korean. It's a big, long post with text.
It says he only has 4 posts. That can't be right.
That's probably not him then. Okay, Kim Keehee is a Sounder. Thank goodness. He'll provide hugely for the locker room.
Yeah, I loved him.
And hey, also fun news that came out today was that Sounders photographer Mike Fitchner finished second place in the World Sports Photography Awards with his photo from the U.S. Open Cup of a player we're going to talk about in a little bit, Kalani, doing a flip after scoring a goal.
That was such a cool shot, and that was a fun game to be at too.
And that's one of those shots that every time I look at that photo, I notice a different part of that photo. It's the composition of it. It's got great emotion in it. It's just a really, really excellent photo. So congratulations to Mike for finishing second place in World Sports Photography Award. That's really, really exciting.
Yeah, I don't know Mike very well, but he's always so friendly when I talk to him.
Yeah, we used that for one of our Instagram posts too.
Oh, really?
I had him upside down like against Phoenix with the. Sorry, my cat.
Yeah, I thought it was a child at first, but your cat.
I thought so too. I had to do a look behind me to make sure.
Need those drugs now for that cat. I'm not in my garage.
No, you can see. There's a bed behind you this time.
Well, we just wanted to match the other podcast that has a cat that shows up sometimes, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, we used an Instagram post for a new episode, and we had that silhouette of him. But also, we made it with flames.
Flames?
Phoenix, yeah. Moving on. Do we have any more scuttlebutt?
I can't think of any more super exciting news other than Nine Inch Nails Patrick announced that they're coming to town, and you're not going to be here for it. Aaron, otherwise I think that probably was the show we could have gone together. I think it's
when is it though?
August.
So Payne Field by my house up here in Everett, $114 direct to San Diego.
Ooh. Okay.
So
maybe you will then.
I can easily come up here for a night and go back down. Another thing I'm stoked about, I can drive to LA, go to a Laker game, and come home in the same day.
Mm. You can.
Yeah. I'm gonna go to
I don't know why you would. But you can.
You know exactly why.
I know why you would. Excuse me. I don't know why one would.
Yeah. Look for me on the.
With traffic, site. You know that's going to be a like 3-hour drive. Like I could probably drive to Portland in the same time you could drive from San Diego to LA.
That's true. It says it's a 90-minute drive as a crow flies.
Yeah. It's
so anyway.
And
do you have on the screen here?
Oh, this is the roster for today's Sounders game.
Let's talk about in the second half. Patrick GC has an interesting thought for us to ponder. I don't know. Did you guys read it?
He posted it originally in the Sounders Scuttlebutt channel. I asked him to put it over in the mailbag for the show because I thought it was an important question that I certainly have strong opinions on, but I'm curious what y'all will think.
Yeah, Nick, you want to read it off, Nick, while I try to kill my cat?
Okay, that'll be fun. So, the question is...
It's on your screen, by the way, if you just want to look up at it.
I am. So do you think it would have been the same result for the first 15 games with Rothrock and Georgie on the roster from day one?
How are we supposed to take it seriously when Aaron is here literally yelling at his cat,
trying to throw his like sock
throwing
at
him. A sock at him as if the cat's going to be like, okay, Dad, sure. It's not Dempsey. Dempsey the dog would get it. It's a cat. That cat doesn't give a fuck.
He doesn't.
He's under the bed now, though. So I think the gist of what he's saying is ideally if Rothrock was in the starting 11 from day one, obviously they're both on the roster from day one. But yeah, so basically if you're taking the standard roster from the last 15 games of the year, and extrapolating that to the first 15 games of the year, do you think it'd be the same result? That's the gist of the question. And Aaron, why don't you start us off with that? What do you think as far as would we have improved? Would we have about the same? Would we have been a little worse? What do you think?
That's an interesting question. I mean,
that's a child now.
Guerrero last year.
That's a child, right? That's not a cat like talking words.
That would be from Nick's side.
Okay. Yeah, no. I thought your cat was like, I was like, oh my goodness.
My cat is, yeah. But yeah, I mean, for
motherfucker, you want to throw socks at me? I'm gonna shit in your mouth tonight while you sleep.
I do have a friend who, when her husband woke up, put the cat, or she put the cat out, and when her husband woke up, left to go to work, and she was in the shower, and she came out, and the cat had gotten back in the room and was standing over her pillow waiting for her to come out of the shower, locked eyes with her, and then peed on her pillow as a punishment. Like, that cat was like, oh, I know what you did, and I'm going to get you.
Patrick GC is like, just answer the damn question, guys.
Okay, just state it again. If Georgie and Rothrock had been on the roster from day one, as we saw them break through in the season, would the results have, would the Sounders have struggled as much, or would the results have been better? Aaron.
My question is, if they were, then where is Pedro? And which I guess he was injured, right? But I think they would be better, right? Because only because of the Ferreira and Raul swap.
I mean, sure, now if you had Ferreira, but I mean, just last year, like.
Well, that's what he's saying, and sub Ferreira for Raul.
That's the second half of the season. He's talking about the first half. So comparing.
No, I think he's saying if you took the second half team, subbed in Ferreira for Raul.
Right, that's the second question. We're only talking about the first one, which is if you had Rothrock and Georgie.
Yeah, for the second one is really basically him saying that would be what this year's team is looking like.
Yeah. So if you had Rothrock and Georgie from day one, would we have won some more of those games?
I think probably.
It's tough to tell because the other thing you got to remember is the human element there. Mm-hmm. The team needed to see and realize as well and trust in Brian that Raul was no longer the answer. And unfortunately, part of that is... Exactly.
That's a great thought.
And so we did need to see. We needed to give Raul the proper runway. We needed to give him a chance to prove it on the pitch. Unfortunately, much like Nico the year before, just at the end of the DP contract and where he wasn't putting up DP production anymore. Yeah. And with that in mind, whether or not we would have been better, I'm very happy with the way the season went as a whole, and we largely stayed out of the drama. You heard multiple players talk about how tight the locker room was. So I'm going to say that I'm okay with it the way it actually played out.
And I don't think Georgie was ready. I mean, he had to show some stuff just to get signed to the team, let alone start playing regularly for the team. and he needed to play those minutes at Defiance in order to get to that place. And those were minutes of success. So I don't, if he had come in from day one, he wouldn't have had the same confidence coming in. He wouldn't have been starting the same way. So I don't know if we would have seen it. Maybe we would have had more options to sit players because everyone was playing poorly. Not everyone. The defense wasn't. But on the offensive side, everyone was playing poorly. Like people were missing easy goals that they never miss. So I don't think we advance as far as we did, like Nick, you just said, if we didn't go through those trials and tribulations. So, but moving to this year, I think Ferreira sub for Raul plus the other additions we've talked about that, I mean, we'll be better this year.
We'll be better. Especially that's why I wasn't reading it that way. But
after today's game and we saw what Pedro looks like when he is more fit than he was last year, boy, I'm pleasantly surprised, not surprised, but I'm happy.
And again, keep in mind one more thing. I cannot underestimate this. Paul Rothrock, in the vein of this question, and I would agree with it 100%, that Paul Rothrock was our starting winger.
Yep.
Absolutely. Locked in, second half of the season was our starting.
Who did we have playing? Because Chu started early but then was sitting. Who did we have playing at left wing?
Well, it was basically Jordan, Pedro.
Reed.
It was like Jordan on the left with Raul up top.
Little bit, but then pretty soon, I guess it was 11 games into the season when
and then Chu got a few runs out as well. Chu got some runs out. So
we saw Reed. We saw So okay,
but
and then Rothrock took that job. Rothrock said that's mine.
And Christian played on the right too.
And keep in mind, Rothrock basically took that when that all came about when Alex Roldan got that concussion, 30 seconds into that one game.
Yeah.
And they subbed him on. And so really interesting, just seizing your moment for sure.
Yeah. I think more if, like that Patrick Swinson's hindsight, right? Because Georgie obviously was better at the end of the season than he was. Like you were saying, Cameron, he needed Tacoma Defiance. But he's also saying not in the starting 11, he's saying in his question on the roster. So he would have presumably a few minutes here or there, which we were saying if Georgie has 15 to 10 minutes at an end of a game, that's going to terrify the back.
Yeah, basically, if Georgie was taking all of Leo Chu's minutes from last year, basically, is the way I interpreted that question for sure. I think that was the intent. But that goes back to the point that I was starting to make a few moments ago, is that you have Paul Rothrock, who was your locked-in left winger to the second half of the season. He's third on your left-wing depth chart right now, behind Areola and Morris. It's crazy. It's crazy the depth that we're going to have, the options we're going to have coming off of the bench this year and the attacking flexibility that we're going to have. I'm really excited for that.
I can change the share so that you can see what see this better that we have today's roster.
Should we go to break?
But I just wanted to look at it in terms of where people fall on the list because, looking at that, you definitely have, Jordan up top, but then potentially he can play on the left. You have Areola on the left, potentially, but, more natural on the right, maybe. But still, you have PDLV who can play on the left. You have Ferreira who could play on the left. So we definitely have a embarrassment of riches on the wings and up top. Now we just need to see execution.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that Fry, of course, in today's game played the CK. I don't know what position that is, but we got him to play the CK.
Typo on the list.
The coal keeper.
All right, let's go to break, and we'll kind of talk a little bit about the preseason match.
Yeah,
and,
everyone listen to me talk about Patreon.
Patreon.
Hey everybody, this is one of your hosts, Cameron Collins. Now, I know we said this time was time for a break, but really, it's a time for me to talk to you about our corporate overlords. And our corporate overlords are us. That's right, we would love it if you would head on over to patreon.com and look for Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast. We will put the link here in the show. And subscribe. You can subscribe for as little as $1.74 a month. Now, what will that get you? Well, I'll guarantee you get at least one extra episode per month. That'll be a cool interview or something like that that otherwise you would not hear. Now, we might put out promos or other things that include that, but the whole episode intact will only be available for you Patreons, at least initially. Now, there will be other stuff that we put in there, but this is where we're starting at. Why, you ask? Well, we have bills to pay, and we need to make sure that we can keep this show going. You would not believe the going rate for PA announcers. So head on over to Patreon, go to Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast, and subscribe. You even get a cool little downloadable membership that has our logo on it. That's Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast over at patreon.com, patreon.com. Now back to your regularly scheduled programming.
And we're back.
All right. Where are they playing? They're in Spain, right?
They are. They're in Spain right now.
Marbella Football Center.
Marbella.
World-class center. They have multiple pitches, which is why the streaming was so nice today. I think that's
funny. The angle of it, though, made me not recognize Nuhu because it was the lens is kind of a – it's not a very strong wide-angle lens, but it's strong enough that it made me go, whoa, who is that? Oh, that's Nuhu.
But everything looks cooler with a fisheye lens.
Yeah. So, it was Sounders versus Puskás Academia FC out of Hungary.
Top of the table in Hungary. They are halfway through their season.
I looked up their value of their players and kind of, how much the team's total value is. And while they have some players that are more valuable overall, they're kind of on par with a USL championship team. So their overall value was right up there. So the second division right below the MLS. So higher than Defiance for sure. Because Defiance is third-ish now? Third, between third and fourth, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
So they, it's not like we were playing world beaters, but you know what? It was a game and you got to show up and perform. And for 45 minutes, the Sounders did, right, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, this is a team that's going to be in Champions League next year at the current rate. And so I thought the game was fast-paced, especially the first half. I thought there was a lot of quick touches by both teams.
They gave us a lot more space than I think an MLS team would have. But, I think we still have a lot of room to get better. This is the first game we've played of competitive ball.
And so our starting lineup was for the first set. They split it up into two squads. Each squad played 45 minutes. The starting lineup for us was Steph Ryan goal with Nuhu, Stuart Hawkins, Yamar, and Kalani Kasirienzi, he of the flip that we were talking about earlier, on right back. Then you had Danny Leyva and Joao Paulo in the center, with Paul Areola, Sebastian Gomez, another academy guy, a Defiance guy, and Pedro, with Jordan Morris up top. We played very direct offensively. That was really nice to see. Now, is that sustainable? Is that just more, we haven't really practiced building out our passing sequences, so we were playing a little more direct for that reason, or is this going to be a true change to our style? I don't know. It looked like at times we had three center backs, but you could really see,
especially on the left, you saw Nuhu getting up the field, and even in the second half, you saw Souza getting up the field, and so there were times where it wasn't even like they were crossing over. It was that the left mid and the left back were moved all the way up.
Yeah.
But we saw great ball movement. I mean, I think Pedro's goal was fantastic. It's the fittest we've ever seen him. His ball movement was great. His off the ball play was good. He had a goal and assist.
Yeah, goal and assist in 45 minutes and was really all over the place, being very aggressive on challenging.
Playing in the middle of the field too. I mean, he obviously was in a regular position, but he's not strictly stuck in that position.
Yeah, so unfortunately with the way that the stream was and the way that the camera was, Paul Areola was mostly on the far side of the field from kind of the single fixed camera. So it was a little hard for me to analyze what I saw from him. And plus I was watching from my mobile phone.
I had it on YouTube on my big bedroom TV, but even then, he was on the other side. But I mean, you got to see a lot of ball movement and, I don't know, it felt good. It felt like, this is how we should be playing and this is how we should have played last year, as opposed to the second half, which kind of felt like last year to me.
Well, I mean, again, this is a team, Puskas, who have the third most goals scored in the Hungarian league, and we shut them out. And that's through 17 games. So I think that's a very, very good thing. They have the second highest goal differential right behind Ferencváros, who you'll probably recognize from some FIFA games. So this is not a walkover team.
And this is the first competitive, air quotes, like match that this team and was playing. And I'm assuming I didn't watch it live, but I'm assuming there was no sub maximums, right?
Correct. They swapped the entire line switch for the second half.
Quick question. Why wasn't Jesus there? Why should I know that?
Oh, he was with the USA, so he hasn't made it there. I mean, he may have made it there.
That's right. I still have that.
They released him, so he was on his way. So he hasn't been practicing with the team yet.
They fully expect him to be playing in the next game, which will be on the 31st.
Yeah, it was interesting how far spread out they are.
That might also just be timing as far as who they're getting and such.
I mean, we play two. We play Hammarby and Norrköping the same day, back-to-back. So that'll be on February 5th. So that'll be interesting. I don't love a 4 a.m. Seattle start time, but hey, that's fine. We get a 7 a.m. for the second game, which was today's start time. Although I felt like it started a little late.
I wish there could be replays to watch it.
We can watch it on YouTube. Highlights.
Really?
I believe so.
Yeah, same channel that's streamed on. You can pull it up and watch the whole thing.
Yeah, there you go.
And then, of course, we play Aalborg BK and then come home to play Louisville on February 12th.
Louisville City.
When I was in elementary school, my best friend moved to Louisville.
Louisville.
10:30 a.m. I wonder if we can sneak into that one, February 12th.
Good times. That's actually the day before I leave for Denver, so that's not an option for me.
You know, I'll be too far down south on the 5.
Oof. Yikes.
No, I-5. Get it right.
Get it right. Get it tight. Yeah.
So...
Well, I'm excited.
Hey, it's just Gouda, nice to be talking.
Getting right,
nice
French. To be talking
soccer. We got Sounder football.
Yep. Sounders football is here. It's interesting the teams we do play because their midseason ends up being a lot of these. I think we talked about it before. I was pleasantly surprised that we played a Hungarian team, but it ends up being these like Sweden, Norway, Denmark type teams. I wonder, that makes sense. So they're on break right now, right? Because don't they have a winter break because of the snow?
Not Puskas. Puskas is their third match in a week.
Yeah, but he's talking about the Norwegian Scandinavians.
That's the word I'm looking for, because Norwegian is a specific country. The Scandinavian teams. Yeah.
The Vikings.
Well, Aalborg BK, that's Denmark, right?
Yeah.
They're Scandinavian.
Yeah. And IFK, I think IFK Norrköping is probably the same.
Meow, meow.
Yeah, they're from they are from I don't even know. It doesn't say.
We come from France.
Oh wait, no,
they're Swedish. Okay. Yeah, they're Swedish, and I think Hammarby is Swedish as well, if I remember correctly.
I believe you're right. Nick, you had a game for us.
I do. One thing I'd like to start doing here is I'd like to have little segments here, and so I've prepared a game that I am calling "Who Made More." And so what I'm going to do is I am going to list two players, and your job is to decide which player made more, had a higher salary for that year. Very simple. And I'm going to be comparing a player from our past with a player from last season's roster.
Can I say one thing before you get there real quick?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to say this. Aaron, did you see Lewis come out in his Mercedes gear? I mean, his Ferrari gear?
No.
Oh, it was so wonderful. He posted it on Twitter.
I was daydreaming today about a kind of like gradient transition of a Mercedes and Ferrari hat that would look kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. Just with his
number. I still want to root for Mercedes. Mm-hmm. I still want to root for Merc, but I'm, of course, rooting for Lewis.
Yeah. And
that sexy red.
But yeah, anyway, he came out. He had a beautiful suit on, standing in front of a Ferrari, and posted it on there. So, and one other thing, because I was asked to talk about it on it, I've gotten really into Irish curling. Excuse me, hurling, not curling. Hurling, which is like
those are two very, very different things.
Hurling is like rugby meets soccer meets lacrosse, and it's super violent. It's
field
like,
hockey.
It's super crazy and. It's a uniquely Irish sport. It's the same as Gaelic football, but instead of using a soccer-ish type ball, they use a little baseball-sized ball with a stick, and you can score from all the way across the field if you make it right. So last year's championship, Cork lost to Kerry they had a chance to tie it on the final play of overtime. And if you tied it after overtime, you go to a retest. You don't get a second overtime. So they would have had to play an entirely new game the next week in the championship. So that's starting this weekend. I'm super excited.
Just wait until next week when we talk about bandy, which is basically ice hockey on a soccer field.
Or the new German game, which is arena league football type football, but on a hockey rink.
Yeah.
Like good on stuff. Ice.
It's good stuff. Good stuff. Wild world of sports. Okay. So who made more? So I have seven rounds here. So odd number. We'll see which one of you will come out the victorious.
This is not going to be fair.
No, right? No. And I will say that I have adjusted these for inflation as well. So that apples to apples.
Of course you have.
So who made more? 2009, Casey Keller, or this year's Stephen Fry? Who made more? Aaron, I'm going to let you start first.
The inflation messes it up. The inflation makes it crazy.
I'm going to go ahead and say Stephen Fry. Yeah,
that's what I would say too.
Yeah. All right. So you both
are going to go Stephen with the hometown discount. Yeah.
Well, also, the salary cap was so much lower than even with the, what do you call it? The inflation.
Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, Casey Keller in 2009, before inflation, made $300,000. So adjusted for inflation, $426,083. Stephen Fry last year made $600,000. So you're both correct. Stephen Fry, congratulations.
Yeah. That was kind of a deal for Casey.
Yeah, not bad. So round
three. I think I remember hearing something about like he wasn't there for the money. Oh, we know he wasn't there for the money. He was fine.
Round two, we're going with center backs. 2019, Kim Keehee or Yamar?
Oh, this is a tough one.
In the same year?
No.
The modern ones will 24. Always be this current. Yeah, this
25?
Last year. This last, this last roster okay, release to 2024.
I mean, Keehee was a big signing when we brought him in. He immediately was supposed to be starting. And he did start, but then kind of had to work his way back into it. That's interesting. And it's not that long ago that the inflation would be that much. We know Yamar makes quite a bit. I guess I go first. I'm gonna say I'm gonna say Kim Keehee.
Okay, Cameron says Kim Keehee.
That was gonna be my same answer.
And that's okay if you both have the same answer. That's okay. And you know, I'm delaying a little bit to make sure the person at home can play along with us. So Kim Keehee, 2019, made $640,000, adjusted for inflation $762,775. Yamar $750,000. So by $12,000, Kim Keehee is the winner.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be close, but
okay. Damn. So now we're going to go old to new. We're going to go 2009, Freddie Ljungberg. Our first DP, or Christian Roldan. 2009, Freddie Ljungberg, or this year's Christian Roldan.
I mean, Christian's still on a pretty high number because of his recent contract signing. But I wonder if you had to take the transfer fee along with it and amortize it across like you do now. I don't know the answer to that back then, though. It's your
I am going to tell you on that. The answer is no. This is going to be salary. This is salary. Not going to be. Okay. We are not considering the cap hit because of.
Okay. Because oftentimes we only know the cap hit and not the actual salary. But
yeah. Okay. So it's my turn. Yeah. I'm going to go with Freddie because all I can picture is Calvin Klein underwear. And I wanted to say that. So.
And Cameron?
This is a tough one. I think I'll go with Freddie as well, since he was a DP, and that inflation number is pretty going to be pretty high.
So, 2009, Freddie Ljungberg made $1.3 million before inflation, so that's $1.8 million. And then Christian Roldan $1.4 million.
Yeah.
So obviously no inflation at this time. So yes, Freddie Ljungberg. So you're both 3 for 3. Not bad. Not bad.
Yeah. Not bad.
Now we're going to get into, you know, in the back half here, we're going to get a little interesting. 2014 Supporters Shield winning Obafemi Martins. Or 2024 Albert Rusnak. Obafemi Martins or Albert Rusnak?
Rusnak was a DP.
And this one is, both of them were DPs. So.
Yeah, but Rusnak was a DP, but a cheaper DP than he is now because he had yet to be paid. He was being paid RSL numbers because we traded for him.
We picked him up in free agency. We signed him as a free agent.
Oh, did we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Remember, that was like the biggest free agent signing at MLS, it seemed.
And this is Cameron's turn to go first.
Yeah, yes. But I still think, you got to go Oba just based on what a dick he was in the locker room because he was so rich.
Yeah, I'm going to go 20. It's 2024, right? So 20. I'm going to go to 24.
It's a decade.
Albert.
Yeah.
Because I have that video.
Yeah. Okay. Good video.
So in 2014, Obafemi Martins made $1.62 million.
That's a deal.
Which comes out to $2.085 million.
Yeah.
085.
For player of
Albert Rusnak
is 2.086.
2.150.
Very higher.
And Lewis goes around the outside.
Yeah, that's so right. Funny because you think about, Oba should have won the
MVP
that year. He got robbed of it and he's making so much less than modern MVPs.
Just interesting times. That's why when I was putting this game together, I was having a lot of fun kind of looking and having kind of member berries.
All right, give us one more. Give us one more.
All right.
Well, is it the last one?
I got three more, so we can do this really quick.
Let's do rapid fire.
All right, here we go.
I'm in the bedroom and my wife.
Round five. We got 2017 Ozzie Alonso or 2024 João Paulo. It's Aaron's turn.
I'm going to go Ozzy. In 2017?
Yep.
2017. After the MLS Cup win?
After MLS Cup.
Ozzy. Yeah, he was making a lot of news too. I'm going to go João Paulo.
All right. So Ozzy was making $1.1 million, adjusted for inflation, $1.36 million. João Paulo, $1.4 million. So João Paulo with the win.
Back even.
Okay. Round six. 2016 Zach Scott or 2024 Obed Vargas?
I'm going Obed. It has to be. It has to be. I really hope we were not. I love Zach Scott as a person. I really hope we were not paying Zach Scott that much money.
I'm going to go with Obed as well.
Okay, you both say Obed. So Zach Scott was making 62,500 adjusted for inflation, 79,347.
Basically league minimum at the time.
Yeah.
Obed Vargas, 89,716.
Yeah. Yeah, just so above league minimum. Yeah.
Okay, it all comes out of this. You're both tied right now. So 2016, Nelson Valdez.
Mm.
2024, Pedro de la Vega.
Mm.
It's Pedro.
You know what, to make it interesting, because if I say the same as you, we're going to tie. Nelson got paid a lot of money, and he was our own personal Fernando Torres, who only did something once it mattered. Like when Fernando Torres...
But I know how much he made, because I read Matt Pence's book, and there's a whole chapter on it.
Oh. Okay. Well, thank you. Then I'm going to go with Pedro de la Vega.
Final answer?
Yeah.
Nelson Valdez made $1.2 million, which adjusted for inflation is 1.5. Pedro de la Vega made $785,000.
Yeah.
So it was Nelson Valdez. That's the first one that no one got right.
You tricked me with your chapter reading there.
And now you guys get stuck in a kissing siblings tie. That's what you deserve. All right, so that was who made more.
I didn't know Pedro was making that little.
Yeah, that's why he's such a deal.
Yeah, the DP is because of the transfer.
Oh, doop-de-doop.
Yeah, so that was who made more. One of the things I'd like to do this year is I'm going to try and come up with more bits, more segments, little games, things like that. I have a few in mind for future episodes. So if any of you have ideas for things you'd like to see, don't be afraid to shoot that out in the Discord, and I'll put together some fun stuff.
We did have a request from the Discord. I have to look up the actual schedule for the Sounders, but I believe... Excuse me. It was Charlotte, February 22nd. We had a request for a meetup at that first game for listeners and maybe people from the podcast. I will have to be in the stadium, so potentially we could do it at the Grill FC table, which is right above where you sit, Nicholas. If you're going to be there, I can't. So maybe Aaron can pipe in via telephone.
Yeah, FaceTime me and ooh, do be like a Flavor Flav and like have your phone
Flavor Flav
FaceTimed right in your sternum.
Yeah. My big issue is always my pregame hype is always based on whether I have my 5-year old or not. Yeah,
right. But I figure you probably will have her and be in the stadium. So
most likely,
and there is bars all around us when you're in the stadium. So
it's like jail.
Yeah, you can grab a beer. You can grab a beer.
I also want to do we talked about this where we watch a game and we're recording while we're watching.
So live stream.
You can time it so if everyone watches on DVR, you can get our audio instead of.
Oh, yeah.
You know, be like, okay, match starting, whistle now. And so you can like hit play and then we can just watch live, and that'd just be fun because people like to either rewatch or don't get to watch live, like someone like me. And if I was like, I love this podcast and I hate MLS season pass, you know, like
the one thing I've really missed, the one thing
going full Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
The one thing I've really missed about not having that being present at games is, so I always go up and go to the bathroom at halftime, and then I hear Jackson Feltz's voice.
Yeah.
And so whenever I hear his voice, it kind of makes me have to pee. It's because I'm always peeing when I hear his voice. So the other day I got dinner with Jackson and I just had to pee the entire time. Every time I heard his voice as we were watching the Ohio State versus whoever they played in
Notre Dame.
No, the game
Fighting before. Irish, Notre Dame.
No, game
oh, before. Oh, the game before Texas.
Texas, yeah. He was rooting for Iowa State because his 91-year-old ailing grandma wanted to see Ohio State win one more time before she died. Unfortunately, much like Nicholas, she was happy because Nicholas is a sellout and roots for the Huskies' rivals. Might as well just root for Oregon while you're at it.
Hey, let's wrap this up. It's bedtime here on the 23rd of January.
For some of us.
Yeah. No, you got, well, you got need time to, go to, you bed got time for to sleep. You need to get a couple hours in before you get out of there.
I might actually. That's not bad.
Yeah, Nick. 2 hours is better than zero safely. There, Nick. Your brain will work, especially if you're driving tomorrow.
Yeah.
Your brain will work better.
Okay.
So where can they find you, Nicholas?
You can find me on Twitter at Nikita Banana, NIQUITABANANA. What about you? Oh, actually, on Instagram at Cascades2C. Yeah. And then what about you, Aaron?
I'd say you should say your Insta. Honestly, I think I might cut the cord on Twitter, on X. I think it might just be, you can find me on the Discord. I am the, when I thumb on there, and it's Scuttlebutt.
I really need to just icon. Start going blue sky. I gotta.
I'm thinking we might go that direction. Bro. Well, maybe we'll find.
Just gotta spend more time curating your list and only following good people on Twitter, because
I just don't want to support it at this point. So that's all. But anyway, you can find me on the Discord.
You can find you on the Scuttlebutt Instagram sometimes. Once every month, you might look at that.
Yeah.
I mean, did you ever respond to my friend request from 2 years ago? 3 years ago?
Someone... On my personal Instagram?
No, he doesn't even have a password for it.
Yeah.
No, you just go follow Randy. That's the way you're going to...
Yeah, go follow. She's on it. That is 100% true. And Cameron, you?
Legal Minded Punk, everywhere you find social medias.
Right on, right on. All right, join our Discord, join our Patreon. See you next time. Take it away, James.
You can follow the Sounder Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at SSFC Scuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.